the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. You know, every time I sit and read or think about the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, I can't help but also think of the Brady Bunch, because we focus so much time on the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, Mary, Mary, Mary. Sometimes we want to talk about Joseph, 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 okay? We really do. We focus on the Virgin Mary an awful lot. A couple weeks ago, I gave a sermon about the Blessed Virgin Mary and sort of how this experience would have affected her whenever she was just a young girl. Joseph is dealing with an awful lot too, okay? You have to sort of put yourself in his shoes for just a moment and think about him and think about his experience in all of this. We don't know if he was a young man or if he was an older man. There are some traditions that say he was actually an older widower who had children from a previous marriage. There are some traditions that say, no, he was younger. We don't know. Scripture does not really tell us or provide us with any real clues about Joseph's age. We do know that he was a carpenter. We know that the word that is used in the Gospels to describe him as a carpenter is the word tekton, which could mean that he built things with wood, furniture as an example, or it could also imply that he was a stonemason. It's used for both of those. I'm not really sure why, but there's been some debate over whether or not he was a stonemason versus whether or not he was a handyman. In either case, Joseph was a carpenter. We know that he was engaged to this young girl, and this young girl came along in a family way, and this had to really surprise Joseph. Now, Joseph had some legal options and some community standards, so to speak, the social norms of his time. He was legally permitted to, and society would not have seen him as a bad person if he would have drug Mary out into the town square and had her stoned. Could have totally done that. But he doesn't. Scripture says that he, quote-unquote, planned to put her away quietly. He wanted to spare her life, wanted to spare her dignity as much as possible, trying to be very gracious about this, before an angel comes to him. And an angel comes to Joseph repeatedly. And you're going to have to imagine that for Joseph to believe Mary's story, somebody's going to have to come and tell you from another place, right? Because it's a little out there. But Joseph says, okay, we'll do this. And they pack her up, and they go to Bethlehem for this census, and the child is born. And Joseph has to be wondering about what it is that's happening here from this dream that he had with these angels telling him that it was okay to marry her. And then now there's shepherds appearing and saying that angels have told them that this is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King. Time passes by. And these foreigners, these people from other lands, these people who were not even Hebrew, come and they lay down treasure in front of this child, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And Joseph has to be wondering what is going on here. The wise men had left, and Joseph has another dream. Now, Joseph's had a lot going on in his life already, okay? And now an angel says, by the way, someone's going to try to kill you and the kids. Maybe you, and the kid and your wife, and maybe you need to leave and go to Egypt. He's already dealt with a lot of stuff, and now he has to uproot and move. And he does it. He doesn't question it, at least not out loud in the story. Got to be a lot of gears turning in here trying to figure out what's going on. But they go to Egypt. Time passes. An angel comes to him again and says, it's okay to go back. Now, this is the only time that Joseph really pauses for a second, because he's going back and he realizes that the Herod's son is in charge, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go slightly north and stay out of the Herod family sort of sphere of influence. He goes back, and we hear precious little after that about Joseph. We hear about how Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem at the temple whenever Jesus was 12, and they lose him, which honestly gives me great comfort in knowing that these paragons of parenting have lost their kid before. I did it once in a Disney store. Don't ask Jennifer about that story. But we don't hear a whole lot about Joseph. Stories, of course, have sprung up over the centuries about what happened to him. We know that sometime between when Jesus was 12 and when Jesus started his public ministry at the age of 30, Joseph's no longer in the picture. And so we can only assume that he died at some point in there. We don't know a whole lot else. But I do believe, my brothers and sisters, that we know enough to judge the kind of man that he was. We know that he respected Mary. He may have been heartbroken whenever he found out that she was pregnant until the angel came and spoke to him. But he wanted to treat her with dignity. That says a lot about a man in those times. We know that he was a man who would listen to the will of God. Listen, and then act on it. He married the Virgin Mary, took the family, went to Egypt, came back, all at the same time while trying to maintain his family, because there was no reason to think that they came from any degree of wealth. He was a man who worked with his hands, who had a hard life, but yet was making life possible for the Blessed Virgin Mary and for the young Christ child. I think we would all do pretty well to spend our time and our lives trying to imitate Joseph, giving dignity and respect to all those, even those whom we may feel have wronged us or harmed us. Listening intently for the will of God in our lives. Because God, unfortunately, doesn't come to us in dreams nearly as often as I would like to say, go do this and go do that. But yet if we listen for that small, still voice in the back of our minds in those quiet hours, we can, in fact, know what God is calling us to. And we can act on that. I like Joseph. I feel like he does get the shaft an awful lot, especially around Christmas time. We have Eucharistic prayers that say, you know, with the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have other prayers and stuff where we reference her, and he doesn't get nearly the credit that I believe that he does deserve. Joseph was a good guy, and we'd all do well to be a little more like Joseph, too. So as we go through this last few days of Christmas, because we are still in Christmas, as we go through these days, I hope that we are very attentive to the will of the Spirit. And I hope that we are respecting the dignity of others. And I hope that we imitate Joseph as much as we can throughout the entire year. Because by doing that, we cannot go wrong. Amen.